Alan, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
How much of Willie and Clancy and Willie was scripted versus improv?
Ah, good. Improv, of course, is, I think, two of the things I'm most petrified of is stand-up comedy and improvisation. And yet I seem to get by in those somehow. But I know when I did the puppet and Harry Jones, the producer, said, fine, now I want you to talk. Come in like you're, oh, say something. And I said, what? And I said, where's the script? He said, script? Yeah. There's no script. Yeah. I said, well, how do you know what to say? Make it up. What, do you read it off your cuff or the back of your eyelids? Or how do you find out? And all it was all ad lib. And when we'd always look for something to happen around which we could make a point or a joke or something. And I remember the Rangoon Ruby. Kids out there in their 50s may remember the Rangoon Ruby. It was stolen, and we had to go find it. And I was in charge of finding the Rangoon Ruby. I made it up every day as we went along.
And this is a daily show. This is not a one week show you're trying to prepare. You're preparing a show every single day, Monday to Friday.
Yes, on Wednesday, John Gallus and I would do Thursday, Friday, and Monday. So we'd be one ahead. I think that was in case one of us died over the weekend. On Monday.
Yeah.
But we always had those shows lined up. And one time somebody said, well, why don't you just repeat the stuff you've done before? After 17 years, some of that stuff still works. And I reminded them at WCCO Television at that time, Channel 4 in the Twin Cities, it was a miser pool is what it was, because we'd say, people would ask me, well, how about the one from 2 months ago when you did the thing? Well, that's been erased and printed over about four dozen times.
Well, and that's, you know, from my website, tcmedianow.com, which I shamelessly plug all hour long, there's a very little video of this that exists. There has been a couple events, the Hey Kids event at the theater downtown Minneapolis.
Right.
There's some stuff that exists, but very little, considering the number of hours of TV that was created, the first 50 years of TV.
Yeah.
There's so little footage that exists. A lot of times, you know, collectors are going to have this material, and that's where a lot of what I've been able to patch together, things Bud's had or things that people have discovered the site or discovered themselves. There are collectors that have this. There might be someone that has Willie and Clancy footage out there. So let's, you know, give me a call, 651-275-1220. Or if you want to say hi or have a question for Bud or Alan, 651-275-1220.
What's a Bud or Alan?
Butter Allen.
That's what we are. Yeah. Well, CCO was not very good about saving pictures.
No one was.
And tape. As you mentioned, they just recorded over all the tapes to save money. So not very much was left. And the reason why some things from the bedtime news were saved, because they were filmed in the afternoon. And also, Clellan Card recorded one of his treehouse programs ahead of time. Yeah. So those were saved. Those were put on tape. So there are quite a few actual shows available at the Pavick Museum.
They do have a DVD of that, and it's a few items, but again, it's very little compared to the amount of material that was created.
There should be a lot more.
Think of how well More on Sunday would sell today if they had a product like that could sell the State Fair or sell the Pavick Museum. That would be
Or the Bedtime News.
The Bedtime News. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful comedy. That was Dave, as the actor. He was just marvelous in that.
There was a story that Walter Cronkite really loved the Bedtime News. And I guess he and Dave had correspondence back and forth about the Bedtime News. And I think Dave would send Walter copies of whatever copy he had of the Bedtime News.
Now, this picture here I just pulled up on the monitor is the videotape library, which someone commented, where are these tapes? I said, probably in a dumpster somewhere a couple decades ago.
Yeah, there was a famous story that somebody was looking for something and they went out to the dumpster in the alley and went through the dumpster and found what they were looking for.
Well, Bud, you mentioned to me one time that when they were doing the 50th anniversary of WCCO, that they were looking for the retirees to provide footage to do the program with because they didn't even have their own material to produce their own program with.
No. They formed a committee to help with the 50th anniversary, and they just told us outright that they hadn't really much of anything to use for the 50th anniversary. But whatever you took home, if you took photos home or tapes or something like that, bring it back.
It's our property. We want it back now.
Yeah.
We're going to sue you otherwise.
Bring it back.
One tape that did exist, and I acquired this. This is the first hour-long Scene Tonight, the first time that WCCO did an hour-long newscast, which didn't do very well. But you guys had this great glass news desk, and you had all this.
Yeah.
You had a female doing the news, too, Susan Spencer. How crazy is that to have a female doing news?
Yeah.
Let's take a listen to the weather.
First Lady waved goodbye. They were saluted by the booming sound of 21 cannons. And as we wave goodbye to the chief executive, we say hello to our weatherman returned from the shores of Ely. How do you like your new home here?
I like the chair.
Comfortable?
Oh, yeah, the table and everything.
Orchestra's going to start pretty soon.
The dancing girls will come in.
Right.
You know, it reminds me of one of nature's proverbs, that the more things change, the more they stay the same. Now, we've got all these changes tonight, but I'm just back from Ely. That always seems to stay the same.
No matter where we put this set, you'll always return.
Always be just coming back from Ely.
I must say, you look very nice in there.
Oh, you look nice too in all those.
Thank you, and you look nice. All of you look nice. Now let's get on with it.
All right, we'll hurry on to the weather now.
What a complimentary newscast that was. Everyone was.
Yeah, that was a crazy desk. It was some kind of like a plastic thing that you could didn't have a front on it, so you could see the people's legs underneath. It didn't have a front, was that
right? Very, very modern.
Yeah, very modern. And it was finally sold to a magician.
Okay. how can you wear shorts though when you have
that was the problem. Yeah. A lot of people would come in with a nice shirt and a jacket
and nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope there's some shorts on.
Or shorts anyway.
Well, before it gets too blue, let's take another break here. We're going to be back with Al Otsberg and Bud Crayling on Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osman with Bud Crayling and Al Otsberg, Robert Redford, a barking dog.
Yeah,
take your pick of which character
Luigi,
you want.
Yeah. Don't forget Luigi.
Big cast.
Big cast of thousands.
Yeah.
So, Bud, now the question that we were talking about leaving CCO in 1996, and that was a long time ago now. You could have been doing weather for 10 more years. What made you leave? Why let him push you out? You should have went kicking and screaming out of the studios on 11th Street.
Yeah. I don't know the thinking of the management. You have a feeling that they're looking for younger people all the time,
mm-hmm.
and something new, some new face, and a new approach to something. And the old people have kind of worn out. And I really wanted to. I loved doing the job, and of course, Dave died. Well, that was after I left the station. Now, but so he kind of was tapering off too. He was doing more on Sunday,
and not by choice though. I mean,
I don't think he wanted to do that. So he wasn't on the news anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they just gradually kind of push people out and get new people in.
The thing I like always is, well, we want to get younger people because that's what the audience wants. And then you talk to the audience, and they say, "Why are you gone?" So who is this audience they're talking to? Is what I want to know.
Do they really sample an audience? I've heard of people coming in as a committee advising on changes of the TV. I never saw the committee. That they would sample some views of the public.
Focus groups.
From their decision. I don't know if that really...
Well, the questions are... I've done one before, and the questions are... Do you feel comfortable, Al Otsberg? Do you want to have a beer with Al Otsberg afterward? Do you think that he's trustworthy? And somehow through those questions, they determine who is going to have a job on the news set or not. I know that Channel 4, Mike Binkley, who was a guest here a few weeks ago, now he's going to be on Sunday night now, and Jason DeRush is going to be on the morning. And there's some research behind this. I'm trying to figure out what is the scientific reasoning behind putting these people in different spaces that the audience is not used to, not comfortable with. And
I don't know what their thinking is.
They do surveys, though, don't they? I mean,
you hear that they do. I don't really know.
I don't either.
Either. We didn't know very much about the workings of the station, did we?
No, no.
Very
the
best way to
the
be,
background.
Right? Well, and think about this. You and Dave Moore and John Gallows, Al Lothric, you guys created this TV business, really, because then TV was like what the internet is today. They didn't figure out how to make it a profitable business. The technology was all new. How do we get people to make this work? You know, radio had been around for a long time, and then TV came around. And, you know, toward, 30 years into your job, then you have the Don Shelbys, Pat Miles, Mike Fairborns. That had been a little bit challenging. It's like, hey, we created this. Now what are these guys coming in here to do our jobs for us now?
I don't know. I don't think I really had a chip on my shoulder about what we'd done. It was scary originally, and the first weather I did was at 10 o'clock at night, just the weather forecast, no news or sports. Mm-hmm. It was a standalone weather forecast.
Tasty Bread or Shell Weather Tower?
That was Tasty Bread, sure. Originally. And that was all I'd live. I didn't really know much about the weather. I did a very, very long commercial, which kind of took half the time, and I was...
I thought you were going to say half an hour.
half the time. It was on 5 minutes or what. So that was all ad lib, and I kind of improved, I thought, as I went along and tried to find out something about the weather, what to say about the weather, and then did a long commercial. And all you did was to hold a loaf of Tasty Bread and maybe squeeze it, and how soft it is, what wonderful ingredients, and it's baked while you sleep was the big line.
And thankfully, Bob Franzen took vacation, and then you pitched some bread for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
50 years later, you were still pitching something.
Yeah, Bob Franzen started doing Tasty Bread, and then he had a vacation coming up, so I substituted for him. And I always felt that I did a longer commercial than Bob did. So that's why I kept...
Well, the bread people like that. Keep talking about our bread.
Stayed on.
You mentioned Bob Franzen, and I've been working with him on and off for several years. He was in my first Folly show. He has a great Frank Sinatra-type voice.
He does.
A crooner kind of voice.
He does.
And recently he did an event at the Old Log, and all the money from the proceeds of the... What they did with the money was give it to the Salvation Army. And he's done that two or three times at the Old Log. And he's a heroic kind of guy.
Yeah.
Still doing it.
So what's next? What's the next show, Al?
Right now, I'm between engagements, I think is what actors say. So there's nothing going on right now, but The Follies was a huge success for 17 years, as I said, and because of Bud and a bunch of other people. And Don Shelby, by the way, he came out one time, and we did the last show we did was called Radio Days,
mm-hmm.
D-A-Z-E. And Don Shelby was my guest, and so he came out, and we did a radio show live in front of these people. It ran about 6 minutes, and got no laughs whatsoever. So I dropped my trousers, and they all laughed. They thought that was
great
laugh.
You always got to stick with your backup material, right? If nothing else works, trip, drop something, right. Hit pies, that always good, yeah.
Yep, vaudeville and slapstick still lives, and I just love it.
Well, Bud, you were talking a little bit again about your bread commercials, but you became such a informed scientist over the years after 40, 50 years doing weather on Channel 4, and I have a clip here that I just want to play. This is from 29 years ago this week. You were doing the weather from the University of Minnesota, and let's just take a listen.
We're going to go to the Bud at the university. How would you rank that eclipse? Hello, Bud.
Yes, okay. Sorry, I'm a little late in talking to you. There's a little demonstration going on in front of Kauffman Union. It's the students told me this is Sister Pat, who appears out here quite regularly to talk to the students on religious matters. Well, we're on location today at the University of Minnesota in front of Kauffman Union, the occasion. We've been watching the progress of the solar eclipse in disguise of one of the older students out here today. We've drawn quite a crowd around in front of Kauffman Union. What a beautiful place to talk about the weather. Well, we've got some little tidbits to mention about the weather today. Obviously, well, you can see, can't you? It's a nice sunny day. Our temperature is at 67 degrees.
That's what I like. Just look at the weather and then tell us what it is, and then that's our weather report.
Look at the sky, yeah. We always had a joke that the weather center at Channel 4 should be by a window so we could look out and see what the weather. And a lot of people joke, too, like, what do? You hold up your finger, wet your finger and hold it up, and you know which way the wind is blowing. Some of those old things.
Well, I like the joke where you went to the New York Times, got the New York Times weather report and said, well, this is our weather report for the day, and I've done my research for the day.
Now, I got a lot of information out of the New York Times. When we first started to do the weather, the forecast came from the Weather Bureau, and it came on the regular United Press wire service. And many guys would go through the news in the newsroom and throw away the weather. And I'd have to go down to the waste paper basket and dig through there to find the forecast. And I would dig out any kind of an information about the storms in Chicago or rain in California or something like that and work it into the weather. But I got a lot of weather from the waste paper basket.
A lot of weather should be in the waste paper basket.
Well, some of it.
Right. And do you think the weather forecasts are any more accurate today with millions and millions of dollars spent on action Doppler? You take your pick of the name of the new technology this week. You know, it's going to rain last week. It's sunny. It's going to be sunny. It's going to rain. There's wind. We can't plan tornadoes, you know, more than a few hours in advance. It's what's changed. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
I think it's an impression. You know, I have thought about this when people say to me, well, it's not any more accurate today than it was when you were doing the weather, and they've got more tools to work with now. And I said, well, you know, I think the impression is that viewers have when we first started doing the weather, we only did the forecast for the next day. We didn't do a week's forecast. So you technically can remember what the forecast is when you just do it for one day. But when you get into 7 days, it gets kind of hazy. What's the Friday forecast?
Right.
And I think somehow people do have an impression from the single-day forecast to the longer forecast. And some have an idea that it's not as accurate as it used to be.
No, I think I think that you're the best weather tool again can be that window. It's amazing what you can find out if you look out the window. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So a couple of big birthdays coming up now. I'm not going to give away. Al, you're turning 49, and Bud's turning 48.
Yep.
Now, Bud, we shared last year. We went to the Pavic Museum and shared a birthday together.
Yes.
Not my birthday, but your birthday, and you were. Can I say you turned 94 last year? So in about three weeks, you're going to be 95 years old, and that's fantastic. That's great to see you.
The 19th of June. I was born just before World War I ended. It ended about 6 months after I was born. I don't remember much about that. But
you didn't fight in World War I, right?
No,
you didn't go overseas. Okay, all right. And Al, you were just. I mean, that's 50 years before you were born.
That's right. Thank you for that. I do remember during the beginning of World War II, which I was around for that, 41, I think it was August or whatever. And I was sitting on the front step with me and my buddy. We were both shoplifters at the time, working downtown, putting on several pair of pants. And
are you from Minneapolis?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. My record's down in the courthouse if you want to look it up.
I did the background check before I had you in the studio because I want to make sure that the monitors aren't missing, the tape reels aren't gone.
But we'd take this stuff and then sell it. You know, you get steal a $20 pair of trousers and you can sell it for $5. So we did pretty good at that.
You just drop them anyway. Why do you even need to buy pants?
But me and Joe, my neighbor, we would sit and watch the cars go by. And my first extra was he and I were sitting there chatting, looking at cars and identifying cars as they go by on the porch of where I lived on 14th in Chicago in downtown Minneapolis. And I hadn't heard this except in movies. I heard some guy say, extra, extra, read all about it, extra. And I said, an extra at this time? And I was, never mind how old it was. But it was 1941.
Was it Sid Hartman selling papers in the corner? Was that who it was?
That came later. But here this guy was, extra, extra, the president is dead. And FDR just been died. And so I thought, what? We'll never have a president again, because that's all I ever knew was one president.
That's right.
I didn't know they went through a process. Elections? What is that? That sounds naughty. And so what are we going to do for a president? I was too young to run. And so,
you mean we choose someone? I mean, we actually have to choose
between
two different people? Okay.
Well, apparently they do that in communist countries.
Right.
Anyway, it was a shock for me. First extra.
And Bud, you last year we saw you at the Weatherman, the Singing Lady. Is doing any events planned this year?
No, my wife and I have kind of phased out doing that. We did it for a couple of years, and that was a great title, the Weatherman and the Singing Lady. My wife Shirley is a professional singer, taught music for a number of years, and I think we had a lot of fun. We sang to CDs for a while, but then we found a wonderful piano player who could change keys and play anything that you wanted to do. So that was sort of the better programs that we did when we had the piano player.
You played at the Minnesota History Center last spring. It was a fantastic crowd, and we applauded, and it was great. People have asked me, like, what does Bud Crilling do now? I said, well, he's still performing, he's still singing, he's still doing radio interviews.
Yeah. One of my favorite songs is that Janis Joplin song, Me and Bobby McGee.
That's what I think of when I think of Bud Crilling, an old dude sing Janis Joplin. Real quick, I want to play a couple notes here from Facebook. Willie Ketchum, play me another Wally Gator or Touche Turtle cartoon.
Oh, jeez. Touche Turtle. Wally Gator, yeah. That one. John Gallus, I remember at that time, Wallace the the hot dog thief, I don't remember who that was. We had a setup where John Gallus with a hot dog and a giant wiener in the hot dog, and he'd hold it up to his face, and just about ready to take a bite, I would reach around the other end and pull the hot dog out. So now he's chewing on dough, and that was all there was. But that was a surprise for John. He didn't enjoy that.
Poor John.
It was much like getting a pie in the face.
You know, no wonder he didn't invite you guys on to Sunday morning with John Gallus. Bud, Alan, thank you for coming in today. This has been great. Let's make it an annual tradition, okay? Next 5 years, every year we'll come in June and
do
the show.
Great. We'll look forward to that. Great.
This is Flashback Twin Cities. Tom Osmond. Join me next week with Jason Davis of KSDP. Till then, so long.